Turn on over in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And tonight, we did a study on Friday, and it was like a group study, but there were some people there that haven't really studied the Word of God too much, and we did kind of a basic, fundamental study on the Word of God. And I was like, man, there's a lot of good stuff in this, and I don't know about you, but I enjoy going over the fundamentals. And I don't know exactly who said it. I think it was Bruce Lee, but he said, and you probably didn't think you'd ever hear Bruce Lee quoted in here, but he said, "I don't fear a guy who's practiced 1,000 kicks one time, but I fear somebody who's practiced one kick 1,000 times." And the idea behind that was, you can practice all these fancy different styles of kicks, and if you've only done each one only one time, you're jack of all trades, master of none. So it's better to be really good at the basics. It's better to be really good at something that is fundamental and that's proven effective. And so, yeah, I figured, it's really encouraging to get into studies with new contacts, new people, even new Christians. And I enjoy it because I get to keep going over these new things. But I want to encourage you, if you're not actively engaged in Bible studies with new people or new Christians or any kind of Bible study period, try to get in there with some new people and try to go over the fundamentals again. Re-spark some of that, oh man, I remember going over this back when this was like, this is so basic now that we just pass right over it, but I remember when I first found this, this was like revolutionary. Go back over some of these things and show them to somebody else. And that's really exciting to see new life start to grow. But we'll start John 1. John 1:1. This is a study on the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are holy. You are the Almighty. You are the Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And God, I just pray that tonight that I can be pleasing to You in the words that I speak, that they're edifying and they're words that You want me to say. Ultimately, it's through Your Scripture, God, I know that it's words that You've already said, and I'm so appreciative for this example. I pray that we can really press on to encourage one another to love and good deeds and to become more adequate, able to perform good works, and to really take this out and to take it to a lost world, Father. You've given us everything that we need. I just pray that we use these things and we use them to the best of our ability. And just pray for a great evening and we stay safe and have a great week for You. It's Your Son's name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to imagine you just woke up. Okay, you're just getting out of bed, and you don't recognize where you're at. You have no idea where you're at. You don't recognize the room, you don't recognize the house. You're in pajamas. This is the 1700s, I don't know. You're just like, what is happening right now? And you go outside on the porch, and you're like, I have no idea. I have no recollection of how I even got here or what is going on. But you soon realize that there's this big field across from you, and on the other side there's a bunch of troops, and it looks like they're ready for war. Mind you, you're just standing here in your pajamas, and you don't even know how you got here. How well do you think you're going to do against this army of troops? This is not a trick question. probably not very good, right? Well, the reason why I bring this up is you're like, this is the most random what if scenario that you could bring up, Lorenzo. The reason why I bring this up is because this is how most people are approaching in the spiritual warfare. They're waking up, they're going out on their front porch, they don't know how they got there, and the enemy's right there, and he's going to take them down. And they don't have any shields, they don't have any swords, they don't have any gun, they don't have nothing. And they don't even know what they're doing. So, we're at war, amen? We are. We definitely are. And I've brought this up before, but as I've studied with some people, you know, certain things come up. I know there's some other people who've studied with different people. And Satan just attacks and attacks and attacks, you know. You study with somebody, they're like, oh, things, I'm learning so much about the Bible. This is so exciting. This is exciting. Bam. Something out of blue hits them, and they loss of a loved one. Job change. There's so many different things that can come up. Obviously, there are spiritual forces that are trying to block the church, right? Trying to stop us. And we have to realize daily we're being attacked. But a lot of times, maybe it's not even the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's not the big things. Maybe it's just that slow suppression of the truth. Maybe it's slowly silencing the truth, right? People are going to men are going to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, ungodliness. We're going to read out of 2 Timothy 3. Let's do verses 12 through 17. And this is verse 12 is just a great way to kick this off. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through Christ, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So what? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Okay, so we have all Scripture, and we know from 2 Peter chapter 1, we've been giving everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have everything that we need. Not a trick question, but how much of Scripture is important? All. Again, the Bible is pretty, as I said, this is fundamental stuff. It's pretty simple. All Scripture is important. All of it. And, you know, some people might, I don't want to go too far into it, but some people might argue, well, you know, Scripture, that's just referring to Old Testament, different things like that. You can go look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, and actually Paul, this is one of the later writings of the New Testament, and he talks about Luke's writings as Scripture. All Scripture, New, Old Testament, both of it. All Scripture is profitable. For what? Teaching, reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness. And, I started thinking about the self-help genre. All these different things that are out there. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good stuff out there, but you know, if you never touched any of that stuff, if you never got any outside sources, if you never read another book in your whole life, and all you had was the Scripture, you would be just fine. You would be just fine. And I don't mean to steer you away from reading, because reading is very good. So go read a bunch of other stuff. You know, listen to audiobooks. Do that. But if you're spending way too much time on the other stuff that is not as important, put some time into the Word of God. Start reading this, because you know what's the promise of this? All Scripture does something. What does it do? It makes the man of God adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, I brought up the example of The person who's just standing out on this porch and has no idea what's happening and is not even equipped for anything. The scripture is what's going to get you equipped and make you adequate for battle. The Bible is. It truly is. And that's why going over these fundamental things is so important. You know, he starts off in verse 12, he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That is not a, well, you might be. That is a, you will be. You will be persecuted. Now, I don't know exactly if that's shed of blood or if that's whatever that might be, some, you know, scrutiny in the job place. I've already had plenty of that, but, you know, who knows what that persecution really looks like. Christianity as a whole is persecuted in many countries already. It's illegal. And it's going to probably be, they're cranking down and they're going to make it even tighter here. You know, you can be in trouble for maybe speaking out about this in the workplace. Well, you're a homophobe. Or you're this, you know, you're this, that. This is a guarantee you're going to be persecuted for what you believe in. You're going to be attacked, but how are you going to be able to handle it? If you're not diving into the scripture, you're not working on it, you probably just will stop, right? It might be a comfortable life. You'll just conform to the world. But if you claim to stand behind Christ, this is where you got to be gaining that strength. And we know from Romans 10, what does faith come by? Hearing the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. This is so important that we're just putting this in. And Mr. Toole, he did a great job this morning talking about all of this stuff. Really encouraging. Let's go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I started thinking of preparation, and I started thinking of training. You know, if you want to be a really good water polo athlete, what are you going to start doing? Swimming, right? You're not going to just start running. If you want to be a really good track and field person, what are you going to start doing? Running. Again, all these questions tonight, no, there's no trick questions. They're all really basic. If you want to be really good at boxing, you're going to have to start building up your cardio, your shoulders. If you want to, whatever you want to do, you want to be a good musician, you got to start getting affiliated and comfortable with the musical instrument you're trying to learn. This is a very basic concept. If you want to be a powerful person for God, you got to start putting in the reps. You got to start being involved in that. And this is not the best example, but this is one I just thought of a little bit earlier. Nolan and Aiden and Mikkel, they all do the CrossFit stuff. And so they're like, hey, you should come. And Aiden's been trying to get me on this for a while. But he's like, okay, I'll do that. And I was like, I'm decent shape. and I started, I know how to do jumping jacks, you know. Those are easy. And they're like, well, they're called double under, not jumping jack, jump rope. Double unders. And it's where you got to do two at a time. And I'm like, I'm 25 years old, and I'm in the prime of my life, and I still can't even do a double under, and it's just frustrating. I keep failing. Aiden's like, it's okay, man. But my point is that just because you have the propensity or the potential to be able to do that doesn't mean that you're just able to do that. Right? I guarantee I still haven't mastered it yet, so I haven't got there yet, but I know I can do it, and that's why I keep going, because I'm not, if I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't go at all. I know I can, that's why I'm going to keep training for it. The scripture is the same way. You want to be equipped, you want to be adequate, yeah, you may have the potential, but unless you're actually training for it, that doesn't mean that you're just ready. You know, I read the Bible, I became a Christian, and boom, now I'm ready, I'm equipped. It's like the double under, you know, I can't, my body, I know it can do it, I just got to train for that movement. And that's the same way that's going to be for anything, you know, boxing, swimming, instruments. All of those things are the same way. We're able, and if you are in Christ, you have the spiritual genetics to be victorious. But it doesn't just, you're not just, boom, there. You have to consciously train for this thing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. So first off, we're all in a race, right? Hebrews 12 talks about that too, I think. We're all in a race, but what's our mentality supposed to be? Well, I'm just going to get a participation ribbon, and I'm going to call it good, right? No, we're to run in a way that we are to win. Why would, again, going back to my workout thing, why would I do something if I don't even think I can even figure it out? We're running this race, and we have the mindset that we will win. But it takes training. It takes forethought. It just takes work. I said, imagine a war not being equipped, and imagine showing up to race day not being equipped either. So I thought of an example of, well, just imagine not trying to win in the first place. I don't know why you would race in the first place and not trying to win. But imagine if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I got a race in 3 months. Do you want to be a part of this? Well, yeah, I'll do that in 3 months. 3 months goes by. They say, hey, you coming? Yeah, I'm coming. You know, you buy shoes on the way there and you show up. How good do you think you're going to do if you hadn't trained a single day going up to that? You're not going to do well at all. But the issue is now we got a relay race because it's the kingdom of God and people are counting on you and they're saying, hey, you want to be a part of this? You want to be a part of God's kingdom? Do you want to plug in? Yeah, you know, come in 3 months, be ready for this race. You show up, you just got shoes, you hadn't trained for a day. Now it's a relay race. How bad do you think you're going to be holding up the rest of the team? It's going to affect everybody, right? Now, luckily, God has designed everything perfectly, and He has constructed the team in a way that, as long as you do your best, you know you're going to get your guaranteed winner. But sometimes people have to pick up the slack. I think Mr. Toole mentioned this morning. Sometimes people have to pick up the slack for other people. What if everybody was wholeheartedly working towards this thing, in the building of the temple and Zechariah? What if everybody was wholeheartedly giving their 100%. Unfortunately, sometimes there's a reason why there's a saying, 20% of people do 80% of the work. It just happens that way sometimes. But we're the kingdom of God. We are not the world. If you read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, and again, all of this is a point I'm trying to make, that the word equips us. The word is what's going to equip us. 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So, you know, why do people that are, he uses example, why do these people who are Olympians or whatever they're doing, why do they drink water? They don't, I won't drink soda. Why do they eat healthy? Why do they get up early? Why do they keep the regimes that they do? What's the point behind all of this? They do it to win a perishable wreath, but we exercise self-control in all things, amen? We do, right? Sometimes we have to push through and avoid the sodas, spiritual sodas. But we do it to receive an imperishable wreath. And guess what? That's something that can't ever be taken away. That's something that, man, you win that, it's not going to fade, it's not going to get dust on it. You're set. But remember, we get that persecution too along the way. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. The word equips us, but I do want to clarify, and I want to be careful. Somebody might interpret this and say, okay, you said all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, righteousness. So what you're saying is, I don't need to come to assembly, I just need to read the Bible. And that's not what I'm saying. I don't need to pray, I just need to read the Bible. And I can find all the answers through this. you know what, I don't even agree with everybody. I don't agree with the preachers. I don't agree with... I can find all the answers right here. If you look at even the context, and as Paul keeps talking to Timothy, let's keep reading into chapter 4. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but when they have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. It keeps going on, says a bunch of different things. But what I want you to see is that actually, it kind of implies that there's two people involved in this. All scripture is profitable for what? Teaching. Reproof. Usually when you're, I mean, God will reprove you through his word, right? But really what's kind of being communicated is he's telling Timothy, you know, preach the word, use this as a tool to teach, reprove, correct, train people, the young Christians, the new people, even the old Christians. The scripture is being used for this to equip people. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. This will kind of tie in really well. The word equips us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That sounds like a pretty worthwhile goal, huh? Side note, this is not really what I'm trying to cover tonight, but it sounds like we can be like Christ on earth, amen? Let me read that again. Until we all attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, perfect, mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. But in this context, the saints are being equipped, right? The saints are being equipped for work of service. Who's playing a big part in that? Evangelists, apostles, pastors, teachers. These people are playing a part in that. But how does that practically play out? Well, using scripture to train, to teach, reprove, and correct. See, you can't separate the word of God and then just try to do stuff on your own. And you guys all know this. We all know this. Again, these are fundamentals. But you can't just say, well, I'm just going to read the Bible for the rest of my life and not plug in and help anybody else out. That's just not, then you're not reading the Bible. I'll just say that. But we're reading from the Bible. The Bible says you need to read the Bible. But that's going to play, there's going to be a big part of that that's playing into teaching, training. This is all going to be together. And actually, a note I forgot to mention on 2 Timothy 3, is that when it says that all scripture is inspired, the word for inspired, the NIV, I think, is a little bit more accurate here, which now, I was going to say nearly inspired version. I just always say that now. it actually uses the word God-breathed. God-breathed. All scripture is God breathed. Now, what kind of picture does that paint in your mind? It's as if God spoke it himself. All of scripture. Now, Hebrews 1 talks about God spoke to the fathers and the prophets many portions, many ways. In these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. You know, back in the old days, how did God used to speak to his people? Well, he would, you know, a dream, a vision, a burning bush, face to face. There's multiple different ways that God communicated through angels. But now, how is God communicating to us? Yeah, God breathed these words. It's through his scripture that he's communicating to us. And it's not just the red letters, you know, those are the words that Jesus spoke. And so I'm not going to pay attention to all the black. All scripture is God-breathed. Let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 6. And this is the next point I kind of want to bring up is the word is a sword. This is actually probably going to be a two-part message, I think. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. So the first part is the word equips us. Okay, I'm going to battle. What do I need? What's probably one of the most important things I'm going to need other than my shield? It's probably a sword. Well, what's the sword? That's going to be the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will also be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So again, as we're going in this imaginary land to battle, what is our sword? It is the Word of God. Let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I don't think this is like one of those fencing things, which are not quite as sharp and powerful, which, I mean, I'm sure is super dangerous if you know how to use them correctly. I don't. But this sword that the Almighty God gives to you, the Christian, is really sharp. It's sharper actually than any two-edged sword. You know, if you can think of an example of, I don't know, maybe imagine just a lightsaber, okay? Imagine a lightsaber from Star Wars, and you got all these guys with all of those old swords of the, you know, the old knight days, and they're coming at you, and you're just cutting through all their swords on one swipe. These guys don't stand a chance, do they? Well, that's really what the Word of God is. It's sharper than anything that any man can forge is not going to do anything to this. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes with whom we have to do. You know, I like to ask the question, what does it mean that Bible is, the Word of God is living and active? Well, we just, one thing I could bring up is that it was Jesus, right? We talked about it being God-breathed. I mean, I don't think there's necessarily a wrong, I mean, there are definitely many wrong answers, but I don't think there's a lot of right answers. The Word is alive. Does it work today? I mean, Mr. Toole brought up, we don't even know what holds together an atom. Gluons? Well, we know that the Word of the Lord is what's holding everything together. Living and active. It's not just some old archaic book that somebody put on a shelf and is no longer even. And we know that it's really active, and it really does get to the heart of things, because a lot of people will leave it closed. The Bible is something that many people actually try to avoid. That sounds pretty sharp. Think of the, you want something that's very sharp for precision, Think of the scalpel in the surgeon's hand as he's performing a very in-depth surgery. You don't want him cutting with a dull knife. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes as far to say that it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature that is hidden from his sight. So, again, I said this will probably be a two-part message, so I won't keep you guys here too late. Let's actually go on over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 22 through 25. Since you have obedience, having obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. We've been born again. Have you been born again, Christian? Through what? The living and enduring word of God. And you know what? I mean, there's so many things that I want to talk about. The word of the Lord endures forever. We are given an imperishable wreath if we are holding fast to the end, if you persevere. I didn't even get to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It talks about watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Remember, we're going to endure persecution for what we believe in. Persevere in your life and your teaching. Because there's a promise that you'll not only ensure salvation for yourself, but also for those who hear you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this opportunity. I get to come and to speak about your word. And it's a beautiful word, and it's one that will last forever and holds all things together. And it's Jesus, and all things are made through it. And God, we could just go on so much about the many blessings you've given to us through this. I just pray that tonight that we can really meditate on these things, to fall in love with your word and to really listen intently and to take the things that you say and not just be hearers but to be doers. And just pray we have a great evening. It's your son's name I pray. Amen.